Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Tonight we have a wonderful show, and I want to thank you first for listening tonight. Today we have a Scottish mother and daughter. Both of them are very intuitive. Athena is a medium, healer, and writer, and the intuitive daughter is an actress and coach. They are both part of the Spiritualist Church, and I'll assert my tongue soon. Now, I can hear Nellie like, Jenny, slow down. And she's laughing now. And they have helped me manifest in many positive ways. I first met Natalie in the spring by taking some coaching from her for actually public speaking. And I really appreciate everything she's done because she really has cleared many, many things. And because of her great energy, and I asked her where she got it from, and she says, from my mom. My mom's a medium, a healer, and she's wonderful. So I want to thank you, ladies, for being a part of the show.
Thank you. You're welcome.
It's a real pleasure to have both of you on. So why don't we get started by, Thea, why don't you tell us a little bit more about you?
Is it me, Jennifer, you were speaking to? You're not terribly loud.
I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Right. What would you like me to talk about?
How did you become a medium?
Right. Yeah. Well, I joined Portobello Spiritualist Church just outside Edinburgh. I joined the church. I first went about 10 years ago. And it all came about because I owned a pub at the time, and you people would call it a bar. And we had a clairvoyant night in the pub. And I had really no idea what a clairvoyant was at the time. And I thought it was a fortune teller, which it really isn't. So this lovely man, he was about 65, came along and gave messages. And I went into my small office. And he gave me the most amazing message from my mother. And it was very, very emotional. And I remember saying to him, I've heard there's a little spiritualist church in Portobello. And he said, yes, it's absolutely wonderful. You should go. And so a couple of weeks later, what happened was I was actually walking my dog. And I looked at my watch, and it was 6:15. And this medium chap had said to me, it starts at 6:30 on a Sunday, and this was 6:15, and I suddenly had the thought, I want to go and see that church. So I went in, and again, I got a message from my mom, and I was absolutely hooked, and I was just absolutely gobsmacked with everybody getting wonderful messages, and I remember thinking, how does that lady up there do that? I would like to do the same. And so a few months went by. I used to go every Sunday, and I heard there was a development circle, and I asked to join the circle. And that's how I started. I've been sitting in my circle now for about 9 years. And, that's how it all got started.
Now, can you tell us more about the church? I mean, what they're about or what their principles are?
Right, okay. Well, it's a lovely, lovely church, actually. Started about 1946, we hold about 150 people. We didn't have such a large church to start with, but it's kind of new, the building is kind of new. Yeah, well, spiritualism itself, I don't know if you know anything about spiritualism, Jennifer, at all.
I know a little bit. I have actually gotten some information about the spiritual trip. Church, I actually got introduced to it from another Scottish medium, Gordon Smith.
Oh, yes, Gordon Smith, yes. Well, he comes to our church to do workshops. We know Gordon Smith very well. He's called the Psychic Barber. He is actually a barber, and he has a barber shop in Glasgow. But he's a lovely, lovely chap. Yeah, he's really nice. I mean, spiritualism really is that, we believe in life after death, that you have a spirit body and you have a material body. And we are very, very, very busy. I mean, a big part of it is healing as well. So, I mean, I actually started healing maybe about 5 years ago. I was very, very drawn to healing. Suddenly got this intense feeling that I wanted to start healing. And I actually told the lady that is in charge of our Monday night circle, June. And I said to June, you know, I really feel very drawn to healing. You know, can I start? And she said, absolutely not. And I was a little bit taken aback because she said, I will be told by my guides when the time is right for you to start healing. And I think about 3 weeks went by and she kind of tapped me on the shoulder one night and she said, healing, you have to start. And but the interesting thing about that, Jennifer, is when I was over visiting Napoli one time, we went to a spiritual shop in Los Angeles called the Bodhi Tree. And I picked a book up, and it had the meaning of names, and I wondered if there was a meaning to my name. And I turned to the page, and there was my name, which is quite unusual. And I could not believe what I saw. And I told Napoli to come across, and I said, look what my name means. And it said healer. And I was quite gobsmacked at that.
Yes.
So that was very interesting.
When you talk about healing, what kind of healing do you do? Like, I'm a Reiki master, and I'm also certified in electric magnetic field balancing.
Right.
When you say healing, what kind of healing does a spiritual church...
Right. Well, it is hands-on. It is hands-on. It's hands-on. Yes, it is. It's energy healing. And I suppose
energy
in a way
healing.
It is a bit like Reiki, but, obviously we're just channels. We're an instrument for God. I mean, it's not us that's doing it. It's God that's doing it, you know. But the thing is, with spiritual healing, the person you are healing does not have to believe in God, but faith healing, they do. But spiritual healing, they don't actually have to believe in God for it to work. At the moment, I'm actually healing, well, I'm using healing to help a lady with, she has cancer in the liver, and she was a friend of ours years ago. She's not keeping too good, but I've been going to see her now for about 3 weeks, and I've been going twice a week, and she actually is feeling a whole lot better. She has a lot more energy. She's doing things that she never did before. She still has the cancer, unfortunately, and, you know, we obviously can't guarantee that we can heal anybody of anything, but it has been known to work. So I'm just kind of keeping my fingers crossed that we might have a little miracle there, but we'll wait and see. I've also been helping a friend of mine who had sciatica. She was in her bed for a while, and then she had walking sticks, and she's absolutely fine now. She's back to normal, and she keeps saying, it was you, it was you. I said, no, it wasn't me. I said, I'm just a channel, you know, and her mother has arthritis in her hands, and I've been helping her, and she's kind of good just now, you know. So, healing's a big part of my life, Jennifer.
Yes. Now, and what did you pass down to your kids that, I mean, you obviously were born a healer. You came in as a healer. You just woke up to your gifts. Now, the moment I saw Natalie, I knew she was very intuitive. I knew she was very connected, very grounded. So what was it that, I mean, Natalie, what would you say that your mother is passing down to you?
Natalie, I have two very different children. Natalie has always been very, very confident, very go-ahead, would talk to anybody and everybody at the age of two, which I was quite worried about. And I used to think she's going to get taken away. She is so friendly. And but, I mean, she has always, I mean, at the age of 20, she came out here on her own, and she settled in Los Angeles and took up drama and went to drama school there and has done really well. But she's a very, very go-ahead person. And she has amazing psychic gifts as well. I mean, she actually sees spirit people. I don't see spirit people, but I can feel them. But Natalie has a gift that she can actually see them at times, especially her dad. And she hears them. And also my son James, he's very psychic. But James is like a medium called, well, she's not with us anymore, Doris Stokes, who was a very, very famous medium in Great Britain. And Doris Stokes, when she started off, didn't want to be bothered by the spirit world and kept saying, no, I don't want you around me. I have things that I need to get on with in my life. And they did actually get her in the end, which sounds terrible, but she was a very famous medium. But my son is a little bit like that. He's very, very psychic, and his dad speaks to him.
James also, my brother, he also has automatic writing where he can, it's like a channel, like he'll get up at certain times throughout the night and he has to write stuff, and it's spirit coming through him, and he writes these amazing things, poems and stories and stuff and messages, almost like Neil Donald Walsh from Conversations with God. He just, he gets up and he has to start writing this stuff. And also, Mom's done that too quite often, has gotten up during the night and had to write stuff, messages and stuff that she gets. I feel that my gifts that I got, I definitely, I've done some transmediumship, the Los Angeles Spiritualist Center. I'm a member of the circle there, and I've gotten certain people I've managed to channel through myself. And when I go into trance, and I've had a lot of messages come through me that way, I mainly see and hear people, and I think that's one of my biggest gifts from my mother. Her mother's sister, her auntie Carolyn, was also extremely psychic, and she, you know, would say a lot of stuff to my mother, like, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and, you know, she told my mom when she came back from Australia, you're going to get married this year, and my mom was like, what? She said, yes, you're going to get married within 1 year. And all of a sudden, she met my dad like 4 months later and was married 4 months after that. And so I think that it's kind of in our lineage. I think my mom's mother was very psychic, and obviously her sister was. And like my mom said, my brother and I have, we have different gifts, but we're all interconnected. I have had a lot of communications with my father, who made his transition 3 years ago, and my father's come to me and told me certain things about my mom and my brother. And I also had out-of-the-body experience a few years ago where when I crossed over, there was a semicircle of people there waiting for me, and one of them was my mom's mom. And we had a communication over there, and I had said, you know, it just felt so nice being there. And she said, well, it's not your time. You have to go back. And I didn't want to come back. And I said, no, I want to stay here. I want to stay here. And she said, no, you have to go back. And then she said to me, look down there. You know what's down there. And I knew it was myself lying in the hospital bed, but I didn't want to look down. And I did. I glanced down. I saw myself in the bed, like, looked like I was sleeping. I was very high up. And then finally, after agreeing that it wasn't my time to come back, my grandmother stepped forward and she gave me a rose. She said, give this to your mother and tell her I'm always with her. So when I came back inside my body, when I got home from the hospital, a couple of days later, I called my mom and I said, you're never going to believe this. And I told her what happened. And she says, I don't believe what I'm hearing. And she says, you know, a couple of days ago she was going to the cemetery to visit her mother's grave, and she'd forgotten to buy flowers. So as she was walking on the road, she happened to glance on the road, and there was a single red rose lying there. So she picked it up, and she put that on her mother's grave. And, of course, when I had this experience, her mother gave me the rose to give back to my mother. So we've had a lot of interconnected experiences where her mother's come to me, and just certain things that have all connected, which is really amazing. And just reaffirms in myself that there's really no such thing as death, you know, like, and our spirit guides are always with us, and our people are always with us to help us through anything that we encounter.
Most definitely. So
yeah.
you are an actress. How does
yes.
these gifts help you in the creative process of developing a character, or does it?
Yes, I think in terms of, I believe if you can, you know, if you can go there in the mind, you can really go there in the body. And in terms of creating a character in my acting, if I can, I usually like to go outside, and I observe people a lot. I love to people watch, and I observe people. And every single day we walk by people in the street that we could play, characters that we could play. I also believe that my spirit guides, when I close my eyes to create a character, a lot of times my guides will come along with something that I can give to my character. Or I'll get like an impulse or some kind of inspiration that can really put my character out there. I mean, I believe that my guides help me a lot within creating characters, within my career, and they help show me the right way. If I just can't quite get a character, and I say, listen, I need help with this. I need to have this character done by this day and this time. All of a sudden, I'll go out, and something will happen where I'll see someone, or I'll come across a book or something that will just make it click. And I'm like, that's what I needed to complete this character.
Yes. It's amazing how they instantly will answer you if you just ask.
Yes.
So,
and it's also, it's being able to listen. Because a lot of the times if I asked, I wasn't allowing myself to then listen, you know? And so for me, it was, I can ask, but then I just have to sit back and know that it's going to appear and be able to listen to them, you know? Also, in terms of auditions, parts that I've been up for, when I've left, and I'll leave and I'll sit in the car and I'll close my eyes and I'll ask my guides, did I get the part? And I hear an obvious yes or an obvious no. And every time I've done that, it's been 100% on the head.
That's really good.
Do you know how psychic she is, Jennifer?
Yes. I've seen her in action, actually in class. She's done some pretty amazing things. So I know that she's very, very psychic. Now, how about you? Did you have any, I know you're a very creative person yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What, in some way, have you been guided to? Has it been a book? Has there been a film? Has there been something that helps you with your spiritual growth? Anything
that's
really...
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there's a book called Stephen Lives. That's Stephen with a P-H, Stephen Lives, and it's written by Anne with an E, Puryear. That's P-U-R-Y-E-A-R. This book just about jumped off the shelf about 5 or 6 years ago in Edinburgh. I was meeting my son for lunch, and he was a wee bit late, so I went into the big library next door, and I was kind of just looking around the spiritual books bit, and this book with this young boy's face on it really caught my eye, and I picked it up, and I took it away. It's a true story, and it is the most amazing, amazing book. It's about a family who lived in Phoenix, mother, father, two boys and two girls, and Stephen was the youngest boy. He was very, very sensitive. He was getting bullied at school. His stepfather bullied him, and to cut a long story short, he had totally had enough, went into the woods one night and took a length of rope, climbed a tree, and he put the rope around his neck, and he slipped off the branch. He didn't really mean to do it. He kind of half meant to do it, but however, he died immediately. His distraught mother, actually what happened was, His mother wrote the first half of the book. The second half of the book is written by Stephen through his mother. She knew nothing about spiritualism. She actually went on to become a spiritualist minister, and she has her own church in Phoenix. But Stephen wanted her to write this book, and she would sit at her computer and actually go into a trance so that she heard Stephen's voice, and he would dictate the last half of the book. And his message in the book was that if you are contemplating suicide, if you're a young person, obviously do not do it because there's help out there. But what this book really did to me was, the fact that it was true really blew my mind, and the way this lady writes is amazing. But that actually, I got up on the platform after I'd finished the book at church, and I said, right, everyone, I want you to hear about this. I have just read this amazing book, and it's absolutely wonderful. Stephen went on to tell of how when he died, he actually came right out at the top of his head. His spirit body came out at the top of his head, and there was a little old lady there to meet him. And she was to take care of him for the first wee while, and he didn't believe that he had actually died. He was in tears. He said, I didn't really mean to do it. I just want my mom. And she said, we were trying to put thoughts into your head for you not to do what you've done, Stephen, but I'm afraid you didn't take any notice of us, so you're here. There's nothing we can do. He was in a terrible state. So she said, what I can do is I can take you back because this is the day of your funeral. You know, in the blink of an eye, they're back in his living room. He is in his coffin. He saw himself. He tried to squeeze back into his body. He couldn't do it. He put his arms around his mum. He was kissing his mum. She couldn't see him. She couldn't feel him. She couldn't hear him. It was really so very sad. But out of this tragedy came a wonderful life for his mother and his whole family. You know, their life changed completely. And she now, as I say, she has a church in Phoenix. So I stood up on the platform and I told everybody. I went upstairs for a cup of coffee after that, and there was a young woman upstairs, and I said, hi, you know, first time here. And she said, no. She said, I want to ask you about that book. She says, because my dad and my sister committed suicide together 20 years ago. And she said, I would love to read that book. And I wasn't sure if people who committed suicide could come back with messages for you. And I said, absolutely, they can come back. And it was as if I was directed to her, Jennifer, to tell her.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? There was a
yes.
connection there. And
definitely.
That also happened to two other people within the space of about two weeks after that. And it still is an amazing book. Natalie has a copy. She's got copies for her friends.
Also, the good thing about it is towards the second half of the book, Stephen talks about what it's like on the other side. He explained everything that happened to him as soon as he made his transition, who was there to take care of him, like everything that preceded that event. And at the same time, at the end of the book, there's different pages of different people, like youngsters, because I believe he was about 14 or 15 when he took his life. He was real young. And so at the end, there's actually excerpts to put in from kids who have thought about killing themselves and were given this book and how it changed their life, and they never did it. And so it's a very, it explains mediumship and spirituality to a T, and it's very inspiring. I mean, really inspiring. Changed my life, too, and I passed it forward to, I think I bought copies for everybody I knew.
Okay.
And passed it forward, yeah.
Yeah. I must just tell you another experience, if that's okay, Jennifer.
Please.
Natalie's father died just over three years ago, and he didn't believe in spiritualism, and he thought I was nuts going away to the spiritualist church. I'm going to tell her about the dishes, yeah. So what happened, he believed in God, but he didn't believe in this funny thing called spiritualism, you see. So anyway, he died in the hospital. He'd been on a life support machine for a week, and unfortunately he died. And I was on one side of the bed, and my son was on the other side of the bed. And as they switched off the machine, his chest just went down for the very last time. And I'm rubbing his hand, and I said, okay, John. I said, you're on your way. I said, your mom, your dad, and your sister, Rena's going to be there, and all the other family members that have gone. I said, and I'll tell you what, they're going to have some party when you get over there. But I said, John, I want you to do something for me. Will you promise me you will just do something that makes me know that you are still alive? And that was it. And I kind of forgot about it, Jennifer. But what happened was the funeral was the following week, and it was a Tuesday, which was a funeral day, wasn't it, Natalie? The Tuesday. But I must take you back a little bit, because John always would wash the dishes, the breakfast dishes, in the morning at 6:30 before he went to work. And he always woke me up with the clattering of the dishes. And I used to swear, thinking, my God, would he just stop that damn noise with the dishes? Always 6:30. Anyway, this bit is important. So the funeral was on the Tuesday. On the Saturday of that week, there was myself and James in the flat. And I'm suddenly woken up by clattering dishes, and I kind of went, oh my God, what is James, my son, doing in the kitchen, washing the dishes? And then I thought, my God, he wouldn't be in the kitchen at that time of the morning. And I looked across at the clock, and I said, because it's only 6:30. Well, it twigged, and I thought, oh my God, and my heart started getting faster. I put my dressing gown on, I went through to the hall, I opened my son's bedroom door, and he was still in bed. And I said, James, was that you in the kitchen about 5 minutes ago making that clattering noise? And he very sleepily looked up at me and said, no, Mom, I thought that was you, because it woke me up as well. Well, Jennifer, you can just imagine, I rushed through to the kitchen, and I saw nobody, but I knew he was there. And I said, John, I know you're here. And I said, now you know what it's all about, I said, and that is amazing. But that's not the end of the story. That was Saturday. The next day on Sunday, I got up on the platform at my church, and I told everybody what had happened. I just had to tell everybody, and you could have heard a pin drop. But again, that wasn't the end of the story, because the next day, Monday, Natalie rang me from America. She'd been to her spiritualist church, and she'd got the very first message from her dad. And she said, Mom, wait till I tell you. I got a message from Dad, but this is the bit I do not understand. Dad said, through the medium, that was me in the kitchen making the clattering noise. What do you think that means, Mom? Well, I said, I can tell you exactly what it means. Now, honestly, Jennifer, If that is not proof of life after death, what is?
We also had another experience, actually, just a couple of weeks ago. I had said to my dad one night, you know, like, are you really with us all the time? Like, kind of show me you're with us. I was asking him questions. Well, as I've fallen to sleep that night, all of a sudden, my dad took me and said, okay, I'm going to show you some stuff. He first took me into the room and said, okay, that's a camera. What do you do with a camera? And I said, well, you turn on. And he said, okay, turn it on. So I turned it on. He said, then what do you do? And I said, well, you open the lens. And he said, okay, so open the lens. Now, this is all a metaphor, like turn it on, open the lens. This is kind of like within yourself. So all of a sudden, it's almost like we just went into the camera. He took me back to Edinburgh, and I saw my mom walking down the street, and my dad was next to her. And then he took me to my brother, and my brother was on a specific street in Edinburgh where my dad was walking next to him. He proceeded to show me all these different times that he spent time with his family members and the exact areas that they were at the prior week. And then I said to him, well, what is it like on the other side? And he said, well, why don't you come with me? So all of a sudden we opened to this football pitch. It's like a soccer pitch. My dad loved soccer. And he suddenly looked about 20 years younger, and he was in a soccer strip. And I said, look at you. You have long hair. And he goes, I play every week. We have a tournament here. And I said, well, why do you look like that? Because you look like you would have lived in the 70s. He had long hair and a lot. And he said, well, I like to look like this. Like, I'm young again. I can be any age I want over here. So we had a good laugh about it. And it was this whole experience. It felt like it lasted forever. But then I was of course, back in my body. Well, the next morning, I tell my mom about it. I said, listen, so Dad came last night, and this is what happened, this, that, and the next thing. So she goes to her spiritualist church that night, and this medium gets up on the platform and comes to my mother and says, I have a message from you. And she says, oh, you're going to be told, you're going to be hearing about, what was it, hearing about something from America. There was an experience happened in America, you're going to be hearing about it. My mom said, oh, already did, heard about it this morning. And so we have, I mean, it literally happens, it happens like on a weekly basis these days. But it's great. Again, it's like just proof for us that they're everywhere. And if you just, like the camera, if you just turn your, tune into it and open yourself up, then it's so much more accessible. And so many people are closed down to it for the fear of the unknown, you know?
Most definitely. It's, for me, I always say good morning to them as soon as I wake up. It's like, hi, how you guys doing? What are we doing today?
It's, right, it's, yes, yes. What do you have to show me today? Or, and it's also great, I also ask a lot, you know, if there's anything that I'm to learn, you know, I will be bring it into my life and I will accept it and I'll be open to it. And every single day, and especially with, I feel, with coaching actors and working with people, they're in my class for a reason and they're in my life for a reason. And we both have lessons to learn through my coaching of them and through them, their learning of themselves. So everything is an experience. Whether it doesn't turn out to be the best, it's always a learning experience. And there's something, and I believe that there, I believe your guides lead you to everything you do in your life. I really do. And whatever career it is, and they're always there to help. Always. It helped me greatly in my teaching, and I'm always learning with every student I teach. I learn new things, and they learn new things, you know, and it helps advance us in every single way, shape, or form.
Most definitely. Now, yeah. Have you had any experience? You've done a short film, correct?
Yes, I did. That was 2 years ago when I was out visiting Natalie. Yeah, she was in Los Angeles living at the time and shared a house with two other young ladies. One of them was called Numa. She was a black girl. I think Numa was about 27 at the time. But how it came about was Natalie had an assignment where she had to film a scene for her acting class, and she said to me, Mom, would you play my mom? And I said, well, of course I will, you know. So we did this scene, and Numa was to film it. So Numa had the video camera and was filming. It was about 10 minutes or so. And afterwards, Numa said to me, I didn't know you could act. And I said, yeah, I did a lot of acting, you know, years ago. I haven't done anything for a while. And she said, actually, she said, you remind me so much of my white stepmother. She had red hair. She was small. And she said she died about 5 years ago of diabetes. She was addicted to sugar. But the strange thing was, I also have diabetes. That was a connection there. So she said, I've been wanting to put together, you know, a short film of memories of my mom. Would you play my mom, my white stepmother? And, of course, I said, well, yeah, that would be, you know, really, really good. So we filmed for the next 2 days, and she was very, very pleased with the outcome. In fact, it was shown on, I think it was, I'm going to check with Natalie, was it Sunset it was shown?
It was in the Lamley Theatres, which are a chain of theatres throughout California. It was shown at Lamley. They show a lot of independent films, and it was on at the cinema there. And then it was entered into the Brooklyn Film Festival and won for Best Experimental Film, and it's now doing the whole festival circuit.
Yeah, it's actually called Judy, and that's J-U-D-I. I think it has an I on the end. It's just under 10 minutes long. I mean, it's not long by any means, you know, for a short film. But, yes, it's done quite well, and so I'm really pleased about that. So Numa got an award, and she emailed me a few weeks ago to say that it had won for Best Experimental Film, so she was very, very pleased about that. So I think, really, that was spirit working, you know, because she said I looked like her mom, we both had diabetes, you know, the connection was there. So, yes, I helped her out with that film. It was a good wee experience there.
Do you think she received a healing in it sometimes by doing that film?
Yes, there's definitely, I feel through any kind of art form, any kind of self-expression, there's healing that comes with that. Because it almost felt like Numa wasn't finished. She wasn't done. She wanted to tell the story, and wanted to tell the story on how it affected her and what happened in her mother's life. And through art, art is a great form of healing. You know, Robert De Niro claims the reason why he acts is for self-expression. All he wants, it's completely about self-expression. And I think through any art form, especially when it's something real, a real experience, I think comes a huge healing within that. I absolutely do. And I know actors and artists that have experienced that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's something, if there's things I feel in your life that it's hard for you to handle, or, you know, a lot of people have pent up anger from different things in their life and different emotions that, you know, they're trying to handle in their life. Acting is, and dancing also, like in certain art forms, are such a great expression of that, and they're very therapeutic. I mean, you can get up on stage and you can, you know, you can be like De Niro. He can shave his head and be this crazy taxi driver, and he can play these different parts, and it's almost like it's a way to express it and to get it out instead of plugging it down. You use it in your characters and you use it in your art, and it is such a relief. It's almost like a weight off your shoulders. And it just so happens that, you know, that's the people that clean up it when the awards come around, because they've had this expression of all of these things that are, you know, their demons or their emotions or whatever that's within them, that you can really get it out. And it's definitely, I think it's a huge form of healing for a lot of people. And that's why, you know, there's so many actors in show business that have had very tumultuous lives and very hard lives, that they become wonderful actors, because there's so much emotion there and so many things that they can use and their character work that can actually help them, you know?
Yes, and at least for me, it's writing and it's poetry. It's
right.
A huge way of healing a lot of different issues for me and facing reality. So how about you, Natalie? Do you do writing? Do you do your own work? Have you done any kind of independent work that has really helped you heal?
I do write a lot. I actually I've written certain plays. I actually have a movie that I'm hoping, I was planning on being in a movie, but right now it's an episodic that we're pitching to different networks, and it's actually called Walking with Angels, and it's spiritualism, but it almost has a mix of kind of Highway to Heaven meets Harry Potter meets Ghost. It's actually a very uplifting, very inspiring show, and it's a one-hour episodic. Actually, I sent my mom a copy to read, and
it was good.
Yeah, so I thoroughly enjoy writing, and I have written a lot. I feel in my work, definitely through theater I've done and film I've done, for me, I always feel better after a performance. When I've gone on stage and done a great performance, there's a huge healing that happens within me all of the time. And I actually worked in L.A. I worked on, this was many years ago, but in one of my classes, I worked on a scene from Magnolia where John C. Reilly is playing, he plays the cop against this girl who's a heroin addict and cocaine addict. And I worked on that part for about a year. And so every week I was, you know, I had these addictions and symptoms, but even though I'm not a drug addict, for me, going into that dark avenue, after playing that part, I would always come out feeling great. And it's funny because a lot of people go into dark parts and sometimes can't remove themselves, but I'm so trained into enter and exit freely, and I know that when I get in there, I can experience this and have this whole thing and come out and know that was just an experience, and I'm perfectly healthy, and that was a huge healing for me. I also did Trainspotting several years ago in Los Angeles, and we actually won 6 LA Drama Critics Awards, and it started off a 6-week run, and we got extended to 6 months because we sold out every show, and it just became this huge hit in Los Angeles. And again, I was playing a heroin addict on stage, and that show, we couldn't believe what that show was doing for people. And for me, the healing came and the responses we got. There was this couple, this man and lady, that had driven from Orange County to come see the play. And they approached the director afterwards and said, listen, we lost our son to heroin. He was 17 4 years ago, and we can barely make it through our days. We've been in therapy for years. We just can't seem to move on from this. And they said, and we never understood it. We couldn't get a grasp on it. They said, until tonight. They said, we sat here in this theater for 2.5 hours, and this show has changed our lives. We get it. We understand why he did it. We now get what he was going through. Thank you so much for giving this to us. You have changed our lives. You don't know how much you've helped us. And, I mean, they were crying when they told the director. When he came back and told us, all of us said, that's why we're doing this. That's why we do this artwork, because not only does it heal us in a way, but it changes people's lives, you know?
Most definitely. And this is a question to both of you. Do you think that the audience sometimes is guided to certain forms like music or a play or a movie or a book just because it's something they need to heal or to
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I would agree there, definitely.
I would absolutely agree. And not only here, I think everything that we go to, we're guided to go to for whatever experience that is, whether it's a movie, whether it's a last-minute, whether it's stopping at a bookstore. Like my mom, my brother was supposed to be late that day. My mother had to go in that bookstore to pick up that book. I mean, everything happens perfectly. There's times where I've sat in traffic and wondered why all of a sudden I've hit this traffic jam and then gone half a mile down the road and saw, you know, a six-car pileup, and I knew my guides had stopped me from being in that pileup. I mean, every little thing that people sometimes get frustrated about, why this, there is a really good reason why it's happening like that, you know? Your guides, I think, they guide you in every moment of your life. And for whatever experience you need to go through that, then that's the experience you need to go through, you know?
Yeah. As for me, Jennifer, I was just going to say, I used to do a lot of acting. I've done an awful lot of theater. But I was kind of stopped in my tracks about 18 years ago because I had a heart attack. It wasn't a bad one, but it was bad enough that I was in hospital for 10 days. And then I had to just take stock and look at my life. And my GP said, you have to slow down. You were doing too much. I mean, I would be going at 100 miles an hour like Natalie does sometimes. And I say to her, just slow down, please. You know, remember what happened to your mom. But I still love drama. I love the theater. I love film. But I'm more into writing plays now. I did a play about 6 years ago. It just came out of the blue. I wrote it on a Saturday and a Sunday, and that was it finished. I put it away in the cupboard. I thought, I'm going to do something with this sometime, and I actually put it away in the cupboard for a few years. I resurrected it again a few months back, and I said to a friend, okay, I want you to have a look at that. She's a drama teacher. I said, tell me what you feel. I just wasn't very happy at little bits of it. She then gave it to another friend who was doing an assignment at her drama college. And what she had to do was find a script writer who had written a new play, or a new playwright, if you like, and see if they would, change it here and there. So what actually happened was, it was shown at the drama college. They put it on one night. They had a night of short plays. It only lasted about half an hour to three quarters of an hour. And you saw the before version without the changes, and then you saw the changed version. And this is for all the drama students. And that was a good night. So the play has been resurrected again, and I'm hoping to put it on at the Edinburgh Fringe or the Edinburgh Festival for next year, hopefully, if I can get myself organized. So that is another little thing that I've got on my list to do. But also, I would like to do something with the Fox Sisters. I don't know if you know about the Fox Sisters, Jennifer. They started off spiritualism in the 1800s. It's an absolutely amazing story. It's the story of it's three sisters, but only two of them were really involved in what actually happened. They moved they were actually from Canada. They moved to New York, just outside New York, and they moved into this house. And from the moment they moved in, strange things started to happen in the house. There was knockings, things would move around, there was the sound of people in the basement, but every time they looked to see what was going on, they didn't find anything. But what actually happened was the two young sisters, one was 9 and one was 12, they started communicating, you know, one knock for yes and two knocks for no type of thing. And it turned out that this was a spirit, because the spirit started knocking back. And they ascertained, believe it or not, that this was a man who had come to the house before they moved in. It had been a kind of maybe a bed and breakfast place or something like that. And this man was a peddler. He came to stay at the house for a couple of nights. Well, he was never seen again. He was actually murdered within that house and buried in the basement. The father of the girls went down into the basement and they began to dig. By this stage, neighbors had been called in to listen to the strange happenings in the house. Anyway, they started to dig in the cellar. Nothing was found, so they gave up. A few more months went by, but then they started digging again. But what happened was his skeleton was found within a wall in the cellar. It was a false wall. It's an amazing story, and it's a true story. But what then happened was the two sisters went on to become very famous mediums, and they would travel the theater circuits demonstrating their skills. They both died. They had very sad lives. They both actually died of alcoholism. But it's an amazing story. There's probably a lot more to it, but this is all I can recall at the moment. I downloaded a lot of the stuff about Fox Sisters from the internet, and I would like to put together a play and hopefully maybe make that into a film, because it's the true story of spiritualism, and it's how it all started off, and it was the Fox Sisters who started it. Very interesting.
You hope to play one of the Fox Sisters.
I think I'm a little bit too old.
That might be something you
could
do.
You're never too old, come on.
I could maybe play the mom. Maybe Natalie could be one of the sisters, I don't know. However, I'm very, very drawn to script writing, and I think this is the way I'm going to be going now. I was in Tucson 2 years ago. I came out to visit Natalie. I bought a 3-month ticket, and I've been writing my autobiography now for about 8 years, and it then sometimes gets put away in a cupboard. I was taking care of Natalie's dad for quite some time before he actually passed away, and I couldn't do any writing because he was ill. We really didn't know what was wrong with him at the time, but I wasn't motivated, and I just could not get my inspiration going, and so my book stayed in a cupboard. I did come 2 years ago. I saw Natalie very briefly in Los Angeles, and I said, okay, I'm taking off for Tucson. I'm going to stay in a hostel. I booked into a hostel, and I spent 6.5 weeks doing nothing but writing out the back. And I actually borrowed Natalie's little portable typewriter, and I would sit out the back, and I would just bash away and write my book. And it was very therapeutic, Jennifer. I got so much done. It was wonderful. So I'm still working on that. Hopefully, I'll be finished that either by the end of this year or early next year. So order your copy now, please.
Now, how can we get you to order their copy?
Sorry?
I said, and how can they get in touch with you to order their copy?
Oh, wow. Well, there's the thing.
You have to get a website up and get it on a website.
I have to. Yes, have to. Absolutely.
The best way to do it.
Absolutely.
Website up and running. I will put a little blog on the air page on my website, and we'll get that information out for you.
Great.
There'll be a lot of people who will want to read the Mary, because you are a fascinating woman.
Thank you. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, we have to get out there with the spiritualism bit. The more people we touch with this truth, because it is a truth, you know, the better. I was just reading in a magazine back home three little stories about three ladies who had cancer. Two had died, and the other one is not in a good way. One of the little stories, her husband wrote, and they had two young children. His wife was only 43, and she died of breast cancer. And, you know, he said, I feel so sad because my wife is not going to be able to see when my daughters get married, and she's not going to be able to see when they have their first babies. And I just wanted to say to him, but she will. She will see. I mean, she won't be there in the physical form, but she will be able to see, because they're all around us. They're all around us, you know?
Do you ever feel, and this is a word that I'm coming to me, suppressed in expressing your spirituality to people when you're just in the everyday, and this question is for both of you, in the everyday society?
Well, obviously, yeah, I know what you're saying. I think you can... You know if somebody is going to be able to accept it or not. I mean, some people, obviously, their minds are completely closed and they don't want to hear about that sort of thing, Jennifer. They do not believe in it. And there's absolutely nothing you can do with these people. I mean, I have a brother-in-law who said, you know, a couple of months ago to me, Althea, when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. There's absolutely no more. And I said, come on, you're going to see me over the other side and you're going to say to me, yeah, you told me so. You know?
I think with people like that, you know, everybody's on their own journey, and so there are some people who may not believe in it, and then all of a sudden, when they're 42, have an amazing experience, and now they're a believer. I mean, I guess it's when people are willing to really open up and say, you know what, maybe I'll just look at this. Maybe it's something just to take a look of. The world right now, I mean, spiritualism is definitely sending a wave throughout the world, and I think more and more people every day are opening up to the thought of there's more out there than just what this is. You know, and I believe with The Secret and with certain things that have come out in the past few years, it's really woken people up. But there's still a lot of people out there who are very judgmental, critical, and closed off to stuff that they really know nothing about. And I think it's a fear. I think it's really just the fear of, well, my goodness, what if that means I don't control anything? Or what if there's that? Well, that scares me. And it's really, people are just scared of the not knowing, of the unknown. And I don't want to know that there's people walking through my house. And, you know, and I think they just don't have the correct knowledge and the correct data to really understand it. And I think if people were to really just kind of say, well, maybe I should just read a book. Maybe if I just read a book, it might, you know, something might click or I might learn something, and if not, then I move on through my life. And I believe when they're ready for it and they're willing to open up, then it will happen, you know. And I think until then, that's their journey. For whatever reason, that's their journey. And, of course, there's people who may never wake up to it, and that's also their choice too. And like my mother says, I think when you make your transition on the other side, it's all kind of understood then, you know. So.
Definitely. Do you feel that Hollywood is opening up to the idea of helping spiritualism to be more apparent and more available for people?
Yes, definitely. I think that there is a huge, I mean, right now there is such a movement in terms of spiritualism and energy and everything that's out there. I think that it's really, I've seen it in the past decade in Hollywood. I think it's definitely opened up a lot, and I see a lot of actors and people in my immediate circle who never turn to anything like that now. Majority of them are in meditation circles. They're really getting in touch with their spiritual side, and also allowing and understanding, you know, guides and angels and things like that, that a lot of people really years ago would just call it hoopla.
Right.
There's definitely a huge turnover in Hollywood for sure that's happening.
Definitely. So
yeah.
It just opens the door for all your wonderful work to get done. And I have good feelings about your your program that you're working on, and I just think both of you are just such amazing, amazing women, and it's been such an honor and a blessing to have you on the show. And
well, thank you so much. Thank you. And we appreciate this. It's also a great medium to help other people and to show, and to, you know, make other people aware of there's so much more amazing stuff out there, you know, that can really help and inspire you and change your life. So we really appreciate you having us on.
Oh, well, thank you, both of you, and have a wonderful visit in the States.
We will, Jennifer.
Thank you very much.
Have we got time, Jennifer, for me to just say one more thing?
Of course.
Right. Okay. I actually wrote four poems, and they came directly from Spirit. Can I just very, very quickly read you the very, very first one?
Of course.
Do we have time? Okay.
Yes, we do.
Right. I tell you what happened. I was looking for something to read at my church, and I bought two lovely little poems from a shop, and I put them on my dressing table, and I said, okay, God, please direct me to which one I have to read on Sunday because I can't make up my mind. Well, do you know what happened? Within the next 2 days, I got woken up at 3 in the morning, and I thought, oh, what is this? Something's coming through. I have to write something down. And I was a shorthand secretary for years and years, and I started writing something down, and it turned out to be the most amazing poem, and that was the one I read on the Sunday. I'm just going to read it out to you very, very quickly, and it's called No Extra Cost. Sometimes it's hard to know which way to go when we are lost. We search and search in vain, it seems, and wonder what the cost will be if we find what will eventually change our lives so that we can wake each day with the feeling of joy and contentment and know that this is indeed where we belong. Life's journey is like a carnival. Round and round and up and down go the wheels of life, taking us to places we know deep within we should never, ever be. Taking us to places where beneath smiling faces there is only misery. Sometimes it's hard to know which way to go when we are lost. But trust in the Lord, and he will show you the right road at no extra cost. And to me, Jennifer, that was just amazing. It came from Spirit. I didn't know what I was writing because it was all in shorthand. And that's what came through. I have another three, but I'm not going to read them to you because time is short. But, yeah, they can do amazing things. Spirit World can just change your life completely.
Yes, and I'm with you on that 3 a.m. They do that to me all the time. And
yeah.
I say thank you very much because it's always a blessing.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And with this. Until next time, this is Jennifer Hellman, and I'm hoping with each breath of air you gain new insights and inspiration. Thank you for listening. Many blessings to you, and good night.